I usually forget that everywhere I go, they have me to do that. And I usually don't do it. I have my mind on one thing, and if you tell me to do something else, you just mess me up. That's all there is to it. But Psalm 130, this psalm reaches out to every sinner who needs forgiveness. Have you ever just needed to be forgiven? Just forgiven. Forgive me. You ever offended somebody? And you just ask them, say, forgive me. I didn't mean, you know. Of course, we probably did mean it, but but you just need forgiven. Just forgive me. Forgive me. That's what this is about. Forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. If we could just truly ask in that manner, there is forgiveness with the Lord. That's what it says. It's the good news. There is forgiveness. God can forgive the most wretched person that's ever walked on this earth. God can forgive. But not only can He forgive, He can forget. Something you and I are not able to do unless we lose our minds. But He can absolutely forget the offense. It never happened. What are you talking about? And all my offenses, I might offend you, but you know all my offenses are against God. David said in Psalm 51, after committing adultery, after having Uriah, her husband, put to death, don't you know he offended that family? You know he had brothers and sisters, and you know he had a family. He had mom and dad, he had a family. But David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. This sin, O God, is against you. And I did it, he said, in thy sight with you looking on, with you watching. Does he not see us all the time? Does God not see us all the time? With you watching, I did it right in your face. Knowing it was wrong. Knowing it. And listen to this. You know something's going on here. There's an intense desire being expressed here. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Out of the depths, you know something's going on. This is the reason why I like to read the Psalms so much, is because the one who wrote the Psalms, I can identify with. I can read Psalm 51, and that's called a Psalm of Repentance, and I can identify with David there. I can identify with him. And here I can identify with him. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Have you ever known the pain of sin in the soul? Have you ever really known the pain of sin? Someone said, conviction of sin is deep work in the soul. You know what it takes to get a man or a woman to say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I did it. No excuses. Well, the devil made me do it. Or this one or that one. Or if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't have done it. When we really cry out of the depths of conviction, we make no excuses. I did it. And I knew better. The law of God written on the heart. We know better. We know better. The psalmist is crying unto God out of a deep conviction of sin. Real conviction of sin is brought on by the Holy Spirit. This is not a worldly sorrow. This is godly sorrow.
This is godly sorrow. And it's painful. Painful. A real conviction of sin is painful.
I have watched in the past some of those Billy Graham crusades, they call them, and people coming down out of the aisles here and talking and laughing, and just as they walk, there's nothing to laugh about in sin. You look at Calvary and tell me, is there anything to laugh about? That's what ought to happen to me. That's exactly what God ought to do to me. But what he did, he marked my sin. And I'll get to this in a minute. He marked my sin. He said, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, who will stand? He did mark it on his son. But David is crying out here from a real conviction of sin. Something's going on here with David. There's a deep work of conviction going on in his heart. And he says here, and this is not the first time he's done it. He said, have I cried? Out of the depths have I cried. He's done this before. I tell you, we cry for mercy. We cry for forgiveness out of the depths of conviction. And we'll do it again and again. And now that varies in degrees. Once it starts, it never stops. It varies in degrees, but once it starts, a real conviction of sin never stops. Why did I do that? Lord, do you not ask every day, Lord, forgive me. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Every day. Pray it every day. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. You're determined not to do it again. And you do it again. And you ask for forgiveness again. And you know what? He's faithful to forgive again. Go over and read Psalm 107. Every time he took them down, they cried for mercy. And what did he do? He lifted them out. Every time. Now you and I would say, you know what? I've had enough. You know, enough's enough. You're wearing me out. The disciples said, Lord, how often should we forgive our brother? Tell me where the limit is. Tell me where the cutoff is. And the Lord said 70 times 7, a definite number for an indefinite number. But I can tell you this, how often should I forgive my brother? As often as you want God to forgive you. That's the measure. As often as you desire God to forgive you. Now when you quit desiring God to forgive you, then you can act like that. You can act like that. The sinner is made to cry out of the depths. He said, out of the depths. He's down, isn't he? He's down. He's down in the depths. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found yourself at your wit's end? It is painful. It is a painful work to be brought to faith and repentance in Christ. It's a painful experience. In the soul. God laying bare the soul. God, I would not want to be stripped naked in front of a crowd. That would be so humiliating. It would be just so humiliating, so embarrassing. And yet when God saves a sinner, he has to strip that sinner bare. He has to strip me bare. And make me see this is me. This is me. It's not the way I thought of myself before. Ain't no one thinks more highly of me than me. Until God lays us bare. Until he allows us to see this is who you are. If a man finds out what sin is, he will find out what he is. If you find out what sin is, you'll find out what you are. Find out what you are. And you'll find out that you are in a very deep pit of corruption.
I'm not just in a pit with a bunch of corrupt people. I am it. I'm the pit. I'm the pit. And no one can reach into that pit of sin and iniquity and bring me out of it except God. He's the only one who can do it. He's the only one. Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. He brought me out of a horrible pit of sin, out of the miry clay, the grave. And set my feet upon the rock. Upon a rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. And established my goings. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. It's not the nursing home. It's my home in heaven with Christ. That's where I'm headed. And I may have to stop at the nursing home on the way. I may have to stop. That may be part of the journey home. Everything I experience will be part of the journey home. But I know I'm going home. Only Jesus Christ can bring a man up from such a horrible pit. You know how he did it? By going into the pit himself. Would you save a sewer rat? Would you go into a sewer and go down into the sewer and save a sewer rat? I shoot a sewer rat. That's what I do to it. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this cesspool of sin and lifted us out. When we sing this song, He lifted us out of the deep miry clay. And when a sinner cries out of this pit, God always, always hears him. Always. Psalm 22:24. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. He heard. Oh, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And notice what he cries. O Lord, if we cry unto him who alone can forgive sin, who alone can lift us out. If we cry to him, we don't need to cry to anybody else, do we? I don't need to cry to the pastor. He can't do anything for me. The Catholics all go to the priest and the pope. They can't do nothing. They just add to it. They add to your misery. But God, the Lord, can bring me out. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You reckon we'd check that out? You reckon we ought to check that out? I do. Cast all your cares. You say, well, this is a little thing. There is nothing in this life that's little. Nothing in this life is little. And you and I are not even capable of taking care of the little things. If we could see behind the scenes, well, I think we would see he's carrying us all the way. All the way. Be careful, it says in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious over absolutely nothing. Nothing. He said, bring them all to me. Lay them down at my feet. Lay them down at the throne of grace. Everything. Got a headache? Lay it at the throne of grace. Got a heartache? Lay it at the throne of grace. Lord, hear my voice. What's that worth? What's that worth if you had the king's attention? Let thine ears be attentive. Attention, like you listen to your child speak and you're listening. Giving attention to the voice of my supplication. If the Lord will but hear my voice, I'm sure all will be well. If I can but have His attention, Lord, hear my voice. Hear the groan of it. Hear the urgency of it. The need of it. Hear my voice. Does not the Holy Spirit pray for us with groanings which cannot be uttered? That's what I think He's saying. Listen to the groaning of my voice. Listen to that which I can't even utter. Listen to it. Hear me. Lord, hear me. Hear me, He says in another place. Hear me when I cry. Is this not what we want? I prayed this morning, Lionel. Lord, hear what we prayed. Hear what we prayed. Here's what we want. For God to hear our prayer, our voice, our groaning. The answer is up to Him. I'm not telling God how to answer. I'm just telling Him to hear. Listen. Give me your attention. Give me your attention. You know what He's doing? He's recognizing His need of God. Is that not what prayer is? Prayer is two things. One, it's praising God. Recognizing who He is. And then it's recognizing my dependence on Him. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. My daily needs, what are they? That's what it is. He's talking about giving my daily bread. It's my daily needs. Take care of me. For God to hear our voice. It's always good to recognize His Lordship also and when you pray. Lord. Listen, if He's not Lord, why are you calling on Him? You can't do any more than I can do if He's not Lord. It's always good to recognize His Lordship. Knowing that He's Lord, we come before Him as beggars. Beggars. Not demand. I demand you give me this. No. Lord, I beg you to give me. Lord, I beg you for forgiveness. I beg you to help. I beg you to hear me. Hear my voice. Asking for Him to give great attention to the voice of my supplications. Plural. Supplications. It's not the first time. Won't be the last time either. If Thou, Lord, Yah, that's what that is. Terrible, the terrible majesty of God. We're calling upon the terrible majesty of God. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? So I know this. I know He's crying out of the depths, and I know it has to do with His sins. Troubled. His iniquities. Lord, if You should mark what I do, what I think, what I've said, I ain't gonna make it. I ain't gonna make it. This verse tells us what's troubling the psalmist. It's his sins. And he knows that God is just God. He knows that God can deal with him in a terrible way. But he also knows, and you just have to love the way he puts it here in the next verse, that God is a merciful God. He's merciful. If the Lord should mark every sin, and I'm talking about the ones we don't even know about, make note of every thought. We are told to bring every thought to subjection to Christ. If He's to mark every thought, and He does. Every deed. The ones I ought to be doing. Not just the ones I think are bad, but the ones I should do and don't. If God, He said, Lord, if You mark those, who shall stand? The angels, when they sinned, they fell. The one third of the heavenly host, they didn't stand. When Adam rebelled, one sin by one act of disobedience. He didn't sin many times. He did one time. The whole human race came under condemnation. Lord, if you should do that, he says in Psalm 1, verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now listen, God does mark sin. God does mark sin. Sins, you know, another scripture says that God requires the past. He does mark it. But here's the good news. The believer's sins were marked on Christ. He chastens me for my conduct. He chastens me for my conduct. He does not punish me for them. He punished Christ. He marked every thought I have had or ever will have. He marked every disobedient act I have done or ever will do. He marked it on Jesus Christ and punished him in my stead. Now, if God has not done that for a man, his sins will be marked on him and he will not stand. Jesus Christ is the refuge. He's the city of refuge. He's the only hope we have. He's the only one. Things that people have forgotten. Do you remember what thoughts you had 20 years ago? God does. God does. Every one of them. Now in Christ are gone. My thoughts, all those are gone. Outside of Christ. Now here's what I'm saying. Outside of Christ, that stupid thought I had when I was 25 years old, he still remembers. Just like it happened. I don't remember those things. But God does. God does. He marks them. Marks them. And every one of them will be brought into judgment. How important is it to know Christ? How important. This is divine knowledge. What he's saying here, this is divine knowledge. This is a person taught of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? Do you have a real, genuine fear of God? God's given you wisdom. You're among the wisest people that's ever walked on this earth. God's given you wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. It's understanding. And if it were not for the truth found in the next verse, we wouldn't need to pray anymore. Because we'd be in trouble. But listen, here's the next verse, verse 4. But there is forgiveness. That word also means propitiation. Propitiation. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, that you may be worshipped, but that you also, listen, may be feared. Don't take forgiveness for granted. Don't presume upon the mercy of God. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and whom I will harden. He's sovereign. He's sovereign in the dispensing of his forgiveness. And he's saying here, there's forgiveness with you. I know you can't forgive me. But I know you can also leave me alone. I know that. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There is forgiveness with God. There is a way that God can forgive me and still be God through Jesus Christ, His blood and righteousness. In Acts 5:31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. in whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness with God. Does anybody here need forgiven? There is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared, that he may be worshipped. I wait for the Lord, he says. Now he says here, he has given his petition. He's prayed. Now he says, I'm going to wait. And that word means expect. I wait with expectation for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Why do I think God will forgive me? I have his word on it. Well, I feel like it. Well, yeah, I feel like a lot of things for this day is over with. I have his word on it. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I have his word on it. I hope in his word. His word is what keeps me coming. His word is what keeps me praying. I have his word on it. I have God's word on it. It's not the word of men. This is God's word. This is not a commentary. This is God's word. It's God's word. Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Pray and wait. Pray and wait. When we remember who it is we're waiting on, it's not too hard to wait, is it? If you know who you're waiting on. We wait on him who's never late, who never fails. Therefore we wait. And now, Lord, he says in Psalm 39, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And in his word do I hope. I cannot always see the hand of God in providence, but I can read about it. I can always pick up his word and read about him. I may not be able to detect him, but I can read about him. Every promise, every hope, every comfort we have is found in God's word. The foundation, the word of God is the foundation of it. And my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You ever pray like that? You ever pray and then just watch and wait for it to happen? Sometimes you wait for years. It doesn't mean he's going to do it next week, or he'll do it when it's time to do it. He answers our prayers in his time, when it's time. When it's best for his glory and our good, that's when God will answer the prayer. There'll be prayers that I've probably forgotten about. There'll be prayers I know I've forgotten about. I prayed years ago that he'll fulfill 10 years down the road. Because why? He never forgets. He doesn't forget the supplication of his children. You ever have kids ask you something and I say, oh, I forgot that. Now, I've done that too many times, but I forgot it. He never, never. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, more than the night watchman waiting for the rising of the sun. He said, I'm waiting for him. I've called on him. I've prayed. I've laid it before him. Now I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to wait on him. He waits for the Lord. He desires his Lord's presence more than those who watch him for the morning. Oh, to have that kind of desire. To have that kind of relationship with God. And now he encourages, and I'm going to close. He encourages his brethren to hope in the Lord. See, he's called on the Lord. He hopes in the Lord, and now he's going to turn to his brethren and encourage them to hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. If it could be wore out, we'd have done it. We'd have done it. If we find the Lord to be gracious, and let us tell others about it. Did he answer your prayer? Tell your brothers and sisters about it. Let them rejoice with you. Let the Israel of God hope in the God of Israel. That's what he's saying. Our confidence is not in the arm of the flesh, but the God of Israel. God of Israel. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. As it's written in Timothy, Christ our hope. He's our hope. He's the Son of God, the Son of man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, the everlasting God, our advocate, our high priest, our everything. Our hope is in Him. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, He says, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, if You should mark iniquities, who shall stand? And then He gets this ray of hope. He remembers God's word. And He knows there's forgiveness with Him. And then it's like He turns to His brethren and He says, you hope in Him too. Let Israel hope in Him too. He shall redeem Israel from all. I like that word all. That means all. That means all of them. I got a lot of them. I'm nothing but iniquity. So that means all of them are gone. Since He redeemed me from all of them, they're all gone. You know the worst enemy I have is my iniquities? It's not Satan. It's me. It's me. I am my worst enemies. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. There is forgiveness. Anybody need it? Anybody really, really, really need it? Forgiveness of sins. There is. All right, Lionel.